Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Arturo.
Hello everyone.
And Gus.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we are talking about Kimetsubaki City Under Construction, aka Kimetsubaki Shi Kensetsu Chu, a series that's only a handful of episodes in. Since this is based on a video game, we've decided to cover it using the three-episode rule. Like previous podcasts about new shows, the synopsis won't be as detailed, so do check out the anime if we've piqued your interest.
Based on a video game, or the thing I found, at least on Wikipedia, is that it's a mixed media project, like something that we covered before. I can't remember what.
Yeah, technically it's a mixed media thing. There's two video games out at the moment. One is coming soon. There's also, where did I write it? There's Songs, a tabletop game as well.
Also, all the five main characters are like real virtual singers, I found out.
Really?
Yeah.
It'd have fooled me. I mean, what? No, nothing.
It was animated by Shigaku-kan Music and Digital Entertainment, the studio behind The Duke of Death and His Maid. I quite enjoy that one. And most of Duel Masters, as well as Ape Escape from 2002.
Ooh, Duel Masters.
Kimetsubaki City Under Construction currently has an Annie List score of 50%. As I mentioned, there are two games. One's a multi-platform rhythm game, Kimetsubaki City Ensemble, that came out in August 2024, and Kimetsubaki City Regenerate came out on PC and Switch. It's a visual novel, and it came out in March this year. And yeah, as I said, Songs, tabletop game, it's really a mixed multimedia project. My short synopsis is, after an apocalyptic event, musical girls team up to save humanity. Asher, what do you have?
I like that one. Mine was more simple. After a world-altering event known as a blackout, Kafu finds herself with a strange new role in this new land.
And goes.
One day, the sun decides it's had enough of our shit and uses scorched human tactics to get rid of us. How topical for us in the UK. A group of young girls is joined by supernatural familiars and has to deal with the aftermath, guided by shady government.
Okay, that was longer than usual.
But accurate.
Well, speaking of a long synopsis, Gauze, why don't you take us away?
During a regular sunny day, the sun suddenly turns green and starts vaporizing the citizens of the city of Kimetsubaki. A girl rushes home, only to find charred corpses of her parents. 7 years later, the traumatized Kafu now lives with her neighbor, Erika, and carries on with the help of her singing.
I'm not saying that the kid with bullseyes for eyes deserved it, but her eyes are bullseyes.
All of them. All of their eyes are. I mean not there's... all the characters, but the girls.
There's two of them that are red, yellow, and blue. It's like, those are the colors I personally, at least, associate with the bullseye. a note for this neighbor: when someone is singing, try not to shout at them if you want them to continue singing.
So I got the feeling that was just to kind of encourage her to try to do it more often.
Yeah, but she shouted at her. She didn't say, "Oh, that's very nice, carry on." So, hey, your singing is great. Thanks.
Look, she was also traumatized and now has trouble controlling the volume of her voice. Like, give those people some slack.
Okay, I apologize.
That opening was pretty, like, grim.
Oh, yeah.
Even on this podcast, we've seen some shows where something horrific happened, but it's not always presented that way, and in this they went out of their way to like make it look horrific. While on her way to school, Her song attracts a cryptic boy called Laplace and receives a call from Erica, who appears to be in distress. Kafu rushes to the school, arriving to find a big disturbance and witnesses Erica getting killed by a monster called a Tesseractor.
Killed quite gruesomely.
Very gruesomely. Yes. By this point, I was like, oh man, I hate this. Not even in a mean way. It's just like, it was so graphic.
Laplace transforms into a fish. Yes. And defeats the monster, which talks before it dies, revealing it was a human. And now, jarringly, Kafu is told by a bird AI from Reconstruction Division that, one, she's a witchling, a person capable of destroying Tesseractors using Song of Purification. Two, after the calamity, the city started turning human thoughts into energy called fragments. And three, because of the use of fragments, Q events happens, turning people into Tesseractors and creating incomprehensible regions. It's all very straightforward.
I wrote similar. My note was, you're a witchling. This is the city's power source. Information done. Now it's weeks later or something.
Yes, there's a time skip, certain times.
I found it weird. I don't know if it was just me, but the time skip felt really unannounced. They're like, we just don't want to see Kafu suffer anymore, so we're just going to skip over Erica's death. We're just moving on from that, and it was jarring to me, because it was just, we just moved on, and that's it. There was no more grieving. I was happy about it, because I was sad about Erica dying, and I didn't want to deal with that, but... I don't know. It felt too glossed over, in my opinion.
No, it's like those videos that's like Shrek, but every time they say is, it skips forward or something. And this is every time Kafu gets traumatized, we skip forward to when she's okay. We're not gonna see her dealing with her parents' death and eventually learning to talk again. We're just gonna skip 7 years. She's okay now. Don't worry.
Oh man, I can't wait until the season ending. See how far we skip. Just late on into the show, Kafu's an old lady at that point.
And yeah, also Kafu now suddenly lives somewhere else with a girl called Rime. After some time has passed, are you keeping up? I wrote those notes without considering we're going to discuss this, so if it sounds weird.
Happens with my notes all the time.
She goes to school and later wanders around the city, pondering on how much the world has changed recently. The end. Now, The episode opens with Kafu cleaning the school pool before being called to deal with a Tesseractor in Area Zero. Meanwhile, fellow witchlings Haru and Sekai deal with a group of the enemies in Area One. Rime and Coco arrive. I don't know why I said it like that. Coco arrive to help Kafu, and all the Tesseractors are defeated with a power of a music video.
So. My question is, why can't they start with singing? Why do they have to take down all of the Tesseractors first?
I wonder the same. We never got an answer. Like, that's it. I don't have a theory. They just don't do it. And it's weird because, like, it's not like you see it physically all... Like, it's the music doesn't affect the wounds that their companions are making. So it's just... weird, because it just, they don't do it. Maybe no one's thought of it.
All the singing seems to do is clear up the mess.
Yeah, I'm assuming they need to be subdued in order to finish them off with a song, but they can also just, it's like a finishing move where your HP is under 20%, but you can also just take down the 20% by beating on the enemy. So like either do this or that. You strategize. Also, I would note that the music, that the songs are don't always seem literal.
No, they're just singing random things.
I mean, not the lyrics, but like when they are singing, when it's a music video, it's not literally what's happening. It's like a bit abstract.
I thought that was because of the irregular areas that they're in.
Maybe.
I can't wait for the Christmas episode, you know, where they, you know, thaw out Mariah Carey from her sleep and turns out she's a witchling. Because that's all the witchlings are being able to think about. So it's just like jingle bells to kill the Tesseractors.
No. At the debriefing, we learned that the number of Q events keeps increasing and there is a risk of another blackout. Following night, Kafu reflects on what happened and Sekai has a vision of a big attack in Area 3. She tells the others just before it happens, and the witchlings urgently drive an old van to the site, the defense budget going to good use.
I had a chuckle at the chat program. Dimcord.
Dimcord, yeah. The group ends up splitting up to deal with the Tesseractors and assist civilians before Reconstruction Division, that's a mouthful, informs them that the true target is the Valis shield that protects the city from blackouts. With everyone else busy holding off the enemy, Kafu volunteers to protect the shield. She manages to find the shield power source and sees there is a person inside, just before it's destroyed. The end.
My notes at this point was, I'm absolutely lost.
I don't know, I think this was pretty short, huh?
I'm pretty sure I understood it after the third episode, maybe. It's totally not why my synopsis was very abstract.
Yeah, after the third episode, my note was made at the end of the second episode.
She's like, oh, there seems to be something in there. Bam, it dies. And it's like, was it a literal thing? Or?
I assume unless they are singing, everything is literal. So, the episode 3 opens as shit is going down and the witchlings deal with a huge wave of Tesseractors. Afterwards, three of them hold down Fort, while Coco is sent away to Area 0 to get replacement power source. And Sekai travels to nearby Church of Isekai Salvation after experiencing a warring vision, presumably signaling the return of our Lord and Savior M. Bison in his Isekai
Thank you. My note was, who knew that all this time M. Bison was a religious figure? Glory to be his truck.
He's just trying to go back home, trying to isekai himself.
If this is someone's first episode, I apologize.
Why is it Church of Isekai Salvation? Like,
because isekai means another world, and heaven is another world, so.
But it's like, it's a church that, it's a salvation from Isekai, maybe? Or is it salvation through Isekai? I wasn't sure.
Either way, M. Bison is a religious figure.
if it's Isekai like, salvation, M. Bison's the devil, which is kind of fitting, actually.
It's like, I imagine the church being like a cult of nerds who like, prepare for a day where they all step in front of a truck and the leader is like, yeah, dude, Stoli, we're gonna go to another world and like fuck with swords and monsters and shit. That's the cult.
I can completely buy that.
What was it? Presumably signaling the return of our Lord and Savior M. Bison in his Isekai truck. We get Sekai's backstory of being raised in the cult church. And she saves the and she saves the people at the cathedral with the power of a music video.
Is this how every episode's gonna end? Just power of the music video?
I mean, it is about a bunch of singers being played by real life singers, songwriters. So maybe everyone regroups. Coco coming back with the equipment needed to restore the barrier and Sekai with a bus of evacuated church people. The barrier is restored, but Reconstruction Division sacrifices one of the rescued people to use them as a power source. That's the end.
So did anyone not see the power source is people coming?
I mean, I feel like the exposition by the bird AI thing in the first episode kind of ended at it. It's like, oh, we harness the power of turning thoughts into energy, but because we use the power, the new energy, there's monsters. They basically said that. Like, they didn't try to sugarcoat. Like, it's literally, we were using these fragments now, and because we use these fragments, there's monsters.
Well, when they're at school, the teacher says, we used to use coal and nuclear and solar and wind. Now we use fragments. We don't know much about the fragments, but we use them anyway.
It's like, I am waiting for a full reveal that the blackout happened because they started fucking around with that. Like, it's their fault to begin with.
So anyway, was it a good adaptation?
I wasn't sure if the story of the visual novel is the same. I actually, that's on me because I didn't really read about it very much.
Well, I did mention there's three video games, and I can guarantee that this is nothing like Kamitsubaki Academy Newspaper Club, which is the game that's coming out, coming soon. It doesn't have a release date yet. There's a visual novel where you join the school's newspaper club.
And
you
have just the end.
Because it's a visual novel.
We're sacrificing human beings for energy. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's a good adaptation. Call it a wrap.
Yeah, I know that from the research I made is at least the characters are persistent between different media. Like in Calf. If the virtual singer is Calf without the U, which is a bit confusing. I'm not sure. I think you still would read it as Kafu in Japanese. But apparently in her music video, Laplace shows up and turns into a fish. So there's that.
Well, the singing takes place in Kamitsubaki. Yeah, close enough. So based on the first three episodes, is it a Yata, a Nani, or a Baka? Adder?
So for me, I think this is a Nani. It felt a bit... So I don't want to say it felt bad. The first episode, I was intrigued when the blackout happened. I was hoping it was going to be something like... I usually try to go into this not knowing anything about the game. So I was hoping it was going to be something post-apocalyptic, the sun's evil, yada yada. I was intrigued. Then that didn't happen. And then we just moved on to the Tesseractors, and I was like, what is this? And then they started singing, and I was like, okay, I just completely misunderstood the premise. So after that, it was okay, but I ended up kind of liking it by episode 3. I liked the characters. I liked that they seemed to be more important than just, you know, oh, this is your side character. Moving on. So, Nani, it's okay.
Did you only think the sun was evil because in Promise of Wizard, the moon was evil?
No, that would be stupid of me.
You'd forgotten about Promise of Wizard, haven't you?
Of course not. That's one of the ones I want to watch.
Typical.
The evil moon. Anyway, Gus.
I think it was Ayata for me. It definitely has problems like the pacing. You should maybe take more time to introduce characters or show how they meet. But it was intriguing, and I liked something I wanted to note is a bit of a naturalistic quality to everything, to like dialogue and the performances. Especially of like of Kafu and some other characters, is that the dialogue, the usually in anime, the personalities and like the performances are exaggerated, have some kind of quirks, and here it felt like I was listening to real people talking and having real conversations. I don't know if that's how you felt. And something that I'm often unhappy with is when, like, if the plot was that there's this new threat, and now you have a special you get your origin superhero origin story and to deal with a villain, like it could go like that, and it would be just kind of boring. But there's this kind of subplot, this intrigue with like why again what I said, that the reason for the cataclysmic event seems to be that the government did something and they're still doing something shitty, and it's not so cut and dry. And also that the monsters seem to they say that are transformed humans, and it's like Kafu knows that's what's happening and hears them talking, and we are expected to feel bad about it. It's not like brushed over. It's something tragic. They're not just monsters now.
Yeah, they have their own desires. No, nothing to apologize about. I just wasn't sure if you were gonna keep going.
I'm just talking about it a lot. But yeah, I liked all those little twists that they had me intrigued, that it's not so cut and dry. And yeah, the characters seem like so far seem like fairly real people.
It's like the danger,
the people dying, the people suffering feels sad, and it's not just like a threat for our superhero to deal with, because they are superhero and it's expected. Sorry, go on.
I have to agree with you. I think that's probably why, kind of like, the more into the anime I got, the more I liked it. But it just doesn't do a good first impression, and might I add, what starts in episode zero for some reason. So I do have to agree with that. I think that's why for me I ended in Nani. I was liking it more, but judging by the three episodes, it's like I liked it and I didn't in the first part, so
sure.
But I do agree.
Personally, I rated it a backer. I like the art style. I like the singing, but nothing else. The story didn't really grab me in a big way. The plot was incomprehensible of the show. Anyway, will you keep watching it?
I'd like to.
Maybe not for a while. I have a lot of other things I want to get to. I could see myself returning to it, but not at the moment. I'm intrigued to see whether more episodes will lead to me thinking to myself, yeah, this would have been a yata. But that's about as far as my interest goes for now.
I feel like there's a good possibility that subsequent episodes will be a mixed bag of, like, really something really interesting and like little mistakes with, like, the pacing and mostly pacing, but that's the kind of media that I liked, whether it's moving pictures or video games, is that there's something really cool there, but it may not always work, or it suffers in more conventional areas that you would expect it to work.
I think it's because it's less cookie cutter, and usually it's trying to explore something different. So there's no particular mold set to know how to follow and how to do it properly. I think that's why you find that kind of struggle in the type of shows you like, in my opinion, at least. I want to say, though, I was not a fan of the music. I've been listening to Japanese music, only the first, the same 10 songs in repeat to kind of like passively listen to Japanese. And I'm it's growing on me. I've been liking them. So listening to this, and I just heard the singers and I was like, wow, I hate this. I did not expect them to be actual singers. That caught me off guard.
Again, I would say that it's not like the music I heard before. Again, it has a bit of a... I want to say again naturalistic, but it might not be not apply. But I don't really know how to explain it. But the feel of the songs is different, and I did enjoy it though. It has a quality that they have quality that's unique. To what I heard before, and I'd like to hear more and see if I find it like how I feel about it later. That's what I'm trying to say.
I can see it, and you, Ace. Obviously, you're not going to keep watching.
No, I'm not.
I'll say that the music, like the songs aren't similar, but the soundtrack in recent Guilty Gear games, like I had similar feelings about it, that on like literally on the surface it sounded good and it was a bit different, but the more I listened to them, more I found that it has legitimately good stuff in it, like clever use of music and lyrics and how lyrics are sung, etc. So yeah, that's why I'm interested to hear more.
Okay.
And that about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me on Ghost.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. But yeah, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, game on.